If the Bible was a person, you could ask him questions and he would tell you what he thinks. Let's pretend the Bible's a real person and that you're going to ask him questions. I have some questions that you may want to ask him. The only way that the Bible can answer you is by quoting from his own pages. In this way, he's telling you what he thinks. In this way, you'll know what's in him. Understand that the Bible is not afraid to tell you what he really thinks. He will not hide anything from you. He will tell you exactly what's written on his pages. And here's the first question you may have. Who wrote you? And the Bible says this in 2 Peter 1:20. He says, "Know this, first of all, that no prophecy of Scripture is a matter of one's own interpretation, for no prophecy was ever made by the act of a human will, but men moved by the Holy Spirit spoke from God." In other words, it was an act of God. Here's your second question. Why should I believe you? The Bible says, "These have been written that you may believe, and that believing you may have life." That's life eternal. John chapter 20, verse 31. In Proverbs 8:8, the Bible says, "All the utterances of my mouth are in righteousness. There is nothing crooked or perverted in them." There's no deceit. It's a straight path, in other words. It's an accurate, sound, reliable book. You ask, why have you been around so long? The Bible says, "My words shall not depart from now and forevermore." That's Isaiah 59:21. "Until heaven and earth pass away, not the smallest letter or stroke shall pass away." Matthew 5:18. You ask, are you a myth? The Bible says, "We did not follow cleverly devised tales when we made known to you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but we were eyewitnesses of his majesty." 2 Peter 1:16. They were credible people who wrote the Bible. They didn't make up the story. They saw it happen. You ask, are you a dead letter that was written only for people long ago? Many people disregard the Bible by thinking it's for some other culture in the past. But the Bible says the Word of God is living and active and sharper than any two-edged sword and piercing as far as the division of soul and spirit, both of joints and marrow, and able to judge the thoughts and the intentions of the heart, your heart, Hebrews 4:12. In Acts 2:39, it says, "For the promise of the message of Jesus Christ is for you, number one, your children, number two, and for all who are far off," even us that are here 2,000 years later than when the message first unfolded for the first time. You ask, why do so many phony people teach the Bible? And the Bible says, a pretext for greed. They seek glory from men, either from you or from others. 1 Thessalonians 2:5 and 6. So in other words, they either want your money, or they want your praise, or they want both. You ask, why do religious people not always do what the Bible says to do? And the Bible says, for the sake of tradition, that's human tradition, in vain do they worship me, teaching as doctrines the precepts of men, Matthew 15, 6 and 9. In other words, they worship for nothing when they set aside the command of God to practice their human traditions. Man likes to put his traditions over God's traditions that are revealed in the Bible. Question. You ask, how can you help me? And the Bible says to know wisdom, Proverbs 1 and 2. So the opposite of wisdom is folly or foolishness. Many people are extremely foolish until they start studying the Bible and understand what true wisdom is. And in 2 Timothy 3:16, it says, all scripture, that means the whole Bible, is profitable for teaching, that the man of God may be adequate, not superior, but adequate, equipped for every good work. So if you want to do God's work, you've got to get your eyes and heart into the Word of God so that you can become, over time, adequate for every good work. That promise is for you. In James 1:21, the Bible says it can help you in this way. The Word implanted is able to save your souls. Save from what? Save from the fire of hell. People, the implication here is if the Word is not implanted into your inner being, you're lost. You're lost and you're headed for the fire of hell. In 1 Corinthians 10:5-6 and verse 11, it says, with most of them, the Jews, God was not well pleased, for they were laid low in the wilderness. Now that means they were put to death because they weren't pleasing God. Now these things happened as examples for us, the Bible says, that we should not crave evil things as they also craved. And they were written for our instruction, our learning. So the Bible can help us learn not to crave evil things. It can help us to learn to strongly desire the things of God. Question 9. You ask, why are no other books included in your Bible? And the Bible says, I felt the necessity to write to you, appealing that you contend earnestly for the faith which was once for all delivered. In other words, the message has already been recorded. There is no new message of the gospel. It was recorded many years ago. In Galatians 1:6-9, the Bible says, even though we, or an angel from heaven, should preach to you a gospel contrary, different to that which we have preached to you, let him be accursed. Again, I say to you, let him be accursed. So the Bible, Paul was speaking there in the Bible, and he said, even if I tell you something different than what has already been established in the cross of Jesus, then I'm going to be accursed. Now, who was Paul who wrote this scripture? He was an apostle. He was a preacher. He was a teacher. He was an evangelist, and he was a prophet. And he's saying those types of people, if people come to you that claim to be those types of people, that kind of talent, if they bring you a different message, a slightly different message, if they go off of the apostles' doctrine, they are accursed. And he said it again, let them be accursed. So it's very serious to teach the truth and not veer off from it. In Revelations 22:18-19, in answer to your question of why are there no other books included in the Bible, it says, I testify to everyone who hears the words of the prophecy of this book. If anyone adds to them, God shall add to him the plagues which are written in this book. And if anyone takes away from the words of the book of the prophecy, God shall take away his part from the tree of life and from the holy city which are written in this book. No heaven for you who diminish what is written in the Bible. You ask, people say you contradict yourself and that you're inconsistent. Is this true? The Bible says the untaught and the unstable distort the scriptures, 2 Peter 3:16. Do your best to present yourself, the Bible says, to God as one approved, a workman who does not need to be ashamed and who correctly handles the word of truth, 2 Timothy 2:15. There are people that incorrectly handle the Bible. That's what the Bible says. The Bible says people that are not trained or taught, or they are unstable, unstable people distort the scriptures. They twist it. They look at it with such poor spiritual vision. They can't truly see or understand what God actually said plainly. But you're to present yourself to God as one approved. You have to do your best to handle the Word of God. If you fall short of doing your best, you will mishandle the Word of God. And you will be put to shame. But if you do your best and you handle it correctly, God will lift you up and bless you for it. You ask, do you think God can really see me? And the Bible says there's no creature hidden from his sight, but all things are open and laid bare to the eyes of him with whom we have to do. In other words, you're a creature, I'm a creature. Anything God created is open to his inspection. No one can hide from him. He sees it all. He sees your righteousness. He sees your unrighteousness. He sees your sins. He sees your repentance. He sees your stubbornness. He sees your rebellion. He sees your obedience. He sees your past, your present, and your future. There is no creature hidden from his sight, including you. You ask, how can I get God's help in my life? The Bible says, to this one I will look, to him who is humble and contrite of spirit and who trembles at my word. But if you're careless with God's word, if you disregard it, if you treat it as something that's equal with you or less than you, God will not look to you. If you're proud versus humble, he will not look to you. You must hold his word in the highest regard, even tremble at it. The Bible says he may strongly support those whose heart is completely his, not partially his, but completely his. So you must devote your inner being to God completely to get his help. And he will strongly support you in ways that you've never would have thought. And the Bible says in John 12:26, if anyone serves me, the Son, the Father will honor him. That's how you can get God's help in your life. Serve the Son. Question 13. Do you think God really loves me and wants me to live? The Bible says in John 3:16 that God so loved the world and you that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life, life everlasting. You ask, what's the best way to study the Bible? The Bible says meditation all the day. Psalm 119:97. And in Psalm 1, verse 1 and 2, the Bible says, blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, but his delight is in the law, in the word of God. In that word, he meditates day and night, daily devoted to the word of God in some fashion. In some edifying fashion, devoted to the Word of God on a daily basis. And the last question you might have at this time is, what great things can I do for God? Some other people asked that type of question to Jesus, and the Bible says this about him. They said, therefore, to him, what shall we do that we may work the works of God? And Jesus answered and said to them, this is the work of God, that you believe in him who he has sent. Do you know who God sent? And do you believe in him? The greatest thing you can do for God is to come to believe, to keep believing in his Son. That's the greatest work you can do for God, first and foremost.